How's everybody doing this morning? There's just something about having a time of worship that just kind of gets everybody focused back in. Christy said something about for years and years and years that God has been watching over this church. And I just want to say that today, actually today, is the Bridge's 22nd birthday. So thank you, Lord. 22 years this church has been around, and God has done some powerful things, and we're just excited for what he's going to do next. One thing that he did yesterday, or actually he partnered with you guys and did yesterday, was the work day, and we were here about 3.5 hours or so, and it looks so great. I just want to thank you guys so much for all your hard work. It looks just, it's fun. I walked around, and people are laughing and joking and talking, And so I'm so blessed to be here with you guys and have you guys just pour out. I just see it all the time, and so I just want to take a moment and just say thank you for coming. Thank you for being a part of that. And today we're going to talk about being real. So I hope you guys are ready to get real. So what is it to be real? When is it okay to be real? Today, I want to visit this idea of being real, and I'm going to be real with you guys today. We don't really find a whole lot of real in this world as it is. Whether you're looking at social media or meeting up with someone for coffee that you hadn't seen in a while, or even in churches, we come and we like to decide how it is that you see. I like to decide how you get to see me. Okay? We come to church and we say, oh, hi, how's it going? Everything's great. We go meet with somebody. You know, I always think of like the high school reunions. You know, you're like, oh, I got to lose 50 pounds because my high school reunion's coming up. Or I got to, you know, all these different things that we're thinking because we want them to see us the way that we want to be seen, not the way we necessarily are. Social media posts become only the highlights of our lives. Instagram and Snapchat, they all have filters that can change how we look. We can look however we want to look on social media. We can look younger, thinner, fatter, sillier, or happier. No matter the reality of our situation of our lives, we like to have people only know the good things, only know the great things. So today, we are going to face some realities. And the first one is that it's hard to be real. Being real is hard. It's scary. One of the things that I have struggled with personally in my life is in the area of people-pleasing for years and years, and still sometimes. And you may have heard me say that before, but it really, honestly, it's just nice to know that people like me. It's just, you know, that's just, you know, if people like me, then I'm okay. However, my way of getting people to like me sometimes was just to pretty much find out what they like, and, well, I'll just like that too. And God has protected me a lot in that because that can go to some very dangerous places. But it makes it easy for me to hide my weaknesses because I just keep showing my strengths and I like the same things that they do and kind of skip around any weaknesses that I may have. It's not fun. We don't want people to see that. And then that way, I don't have to worry about being rejected by people who don't approve of or agree with me. And I get to have friends. And if I like what they like and don't say anything about the things that I maybe disagree with, well, then we always have something to do and we never argue. And they want to be a part of my life because everything I do, well, I got the idea from them. So it's pretty easy for them to want to join along. But that's not a good way to live. It's not a way to grow, and it's not a way to grow in faith, in our faith. Even with God, we want to present to him the good stuff, which, if we think about it, might seem silly because we know that he knows everything already. He knows the reality of our lives, And Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good." We know we can't hide from God. It didn't work out well for Jonah. That poor guy, he ended up getting eaten and spit out by a whale. And not only does God see what we do, but it says in the book of 1 Samuel that God sees the condition of our hearts. He knows what's going on inside. He sees our actions, but he also sees our motivations. And that is owie. That is youch. Yet we still think that we have things that we don't want him to see. And I was wondering this week why it is that we try and hide things from God. Well, if I'm doing something that I shouldn't, I don't want to talk to God about it. I want to keep doing that. Or maybe I want to fix it so that when I come to him, I'm all good. He just sees the good stuff. And he can accept me that way. On the flip side, if I'm not doing what he's asked me to do, I don't want to talk to him about that either. Either way, I'm ashamed of where I am, and I feel the need to fix it, get rid of shame and all those things, and then I can be presentable before God. And let me be clear, I'm not just talking about people who are not walking with the Lord. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about believers. I mean, I'm sure that there are people out there and there are many of them who believe that they can't come to the Lord because they're not perfect. But we do it too. We do it too. This is something that we as believers have to wrestle with. We have to be real with God. And we may not want to admit that we're not being real with God. Because, well, that would be being real, and real is scary. Which brings us to our next point. Being real is humbling. I had a moment this week with God as I was preparing this sermon in which I was throwing a little fit. I'm just going to be honest with you, since we're being real, I was throwing a little fit. Have you ever thrown a fit with God? Throw a little fit, you know? Stomp your feet a little bit, maybe. But I want to share this experience with you because in this moment of my fit, he showed me something of himself. When we were on our vacation a couple weeks ago, some of you know that I have problems sometimes with my back and neck and foot, and, you know, I got problems, but but when we were on vacation, I didn't struggle with any of that. I slept well. I every once in a while, a little bit, but nothing that kept me from going and doing all the things that we had planned and all the fun things. I rode all the rides and did all the stuff. But when I came back, well, my neck got back out of whack. And after a couple days of having to lay down for it and ice my neck, I've been to the chiropractor multiple times. Well, I was frustrated. And I was sitting in my office preparing this sermon, and this all came out. I was sitting in there, and my head was hurting, and I was tired, and it was making it really hard to focus. And I finally just said out loud, I was by myself, but I said out loud, "Lord, I just can't do this. I can't focus when my head hurts and I'm tired, and I just can't do it." And after a few moments, I started gathering up my stuff. I was like, I'm just going to do this later. I'm going to go and lay down again, I guess, and whatever. I felt the Holy Spirit come. And his voice was so kind and sweet to me. And he said, "You're right. You can't do it. But I can. Thank you for being honest with me. And you just proved your point." And it made me tear up because I had foolishly thought that it was up to me to navigate my situation. It was up to me to navigate my physical pain. It was up to me to navigate trying to put things together and doing everything so that I looked right. And God isn't calling us. He's not asking us to look right. He's asking us to be real, and he is right. Now we'll see if I can read my notes after crying. It was so humbling in that moment. And I had to be honest about where my heart was. And it's so hard to admit when we have shortcomings. James 4, 6 through 10. But he gives us more grace. That is why the scripture says God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Humble yourselves before the Lord. That means to show a low estimate of one's own importance. He is greater than I am. What he wants is greater than what I want. His plans are greater than mine. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Do you need to be lifted up today? Humble yourself before the Lord. Don't try and hang on to something that comes between you and God. Don't try and look right when you come before him. Be real with God. Let go of it. Don't hold on to things with a tight fist. Humble yourself. And the only way to do that is to be real when you look at yourself and what you're presenting. When we are real, it makes our weaknesses show, and we have to see them. And I don't like to see my weaknesses. But in my weakness, he is strong. In your weakness, he is strong. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 9, is that the right verse? Yes. Okay. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. See, in our shortcomings, we come to him and we come face to face with our true self. He is greater. We're not. But in that moment, when we're humbled, we also get to see his true self. We see his power. We see his strength. We see his love that was poured out for us at the cross, a real and tangible sacrifice of love. Not so that we can come before him and bring him just the good stuff, but so that we can come before him and he meets us in the bad stuff. And he's gracious and he's merciful. And he brings us to a place of goodness in him. God can do his best work in the place of our humility. But being real makes us vulnerable. When we let that hand open up, you ever give something to God and you just do it closed fists? You're like, here it is, Lord. I'm giving it to you. Okay, now I'm going to go away. You know, you never let go of it. But when we let that hand open up, it makes us susceptible. It makes us vulnerable. It makes us like anything could happen. We could get hurt. That's why we don't want to be vulnerable with other people, because that means an opening up. You're letting them into places that they could hurt you. Whether it's fear or rejection or disappointment, it's hard. Whatever it is that we're afraid of, it's hard. But being real with God allows him to work. It gives him access to places that we wouldn't want anyone to see. It gives him room to give us hope. It allows him to shake us up. And when we are shaken, all the things that are not of him shake off. And that can be scary and exciting all at the same time. Which brings us to our last point. Wait a minute. Did I skip a page? Oh, no, I didn't. Being real is necessary. You know, the number one way when you're trying to lose weight or overcome addiction or anything like that, the one thing that everyone has pretty much agreed that works is accountability and talking things out. When you're struggling with something that you can't handle, you go talk to somebody about it. People go into counseling. People, join groups that they can gather together and overcome things. Whether it's food that you're addicted to or alcoholism or whatever, pretty much anything you can think of, those successful in beating in it is through relationships. Relationships with God, relationships with people, through accountability and people coming alongside them. Being real with ourselves and God and people. Revelation 12, 10 and 11. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, have been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives as much as to shrink from death. Through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, we overcome." Alcoholics Anonymous has people sit and talk about how they have overcome. That's what they do when they go to a meeting. And I know many of you probably know the first of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. People make jokes about it. People, you know, talk about it. And that is to admit you have a problem. You need to admit you have a problem. Well, that was the only step that I knew of the 12 steps. I don't know about you guys, if any of you have ever read them. But I went to the website to go look and see what the 12 steps are. And I'm just going to read the first five to you. First step, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol and that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Even in Alcoholics Anonymous, they're saying, we have to admit to God, we have to admit to ourselves, and we have to admit to others. There are 2.1 million people that are members of Alcoholics Anonymous. And those that follow the 12 steps, they encourage all of them to follow the steps, but they don't require them to. 75% of the people who are a part of Alcoholics Anonymous have success. 75%. And it's because it takes us back to being real, facing our problems, not going around them. Really, I could have just read step number five, admitting to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Because there's change that happens when you do that. Being real with God, with ourselves, and another person. Now, you may be thinking, I don't have an addiction. I'm not struggling with that, so this doesn't really apply to me. But I just want to tell you, sometimes my real self is crabby. Sometimes I'm unforgiving and I'm selfish. And sometimes real isn't pretty. Sometimes I yell at my kids. I sometimes argue with my husband. And I have made bad choices in my life. That's not something that I want to face. It's not something I want you to see. So why do we even need to do that? Can't we just deal with it inside and move it aside and, you know, move past it? What's the point of me showing my realness to you or my family or to God? What's the point of it? And here's the thing. Two are better than one, Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they'll keep warm. So how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Here's the thing. I, in all of my weaknesses, I need you. If you look at the person sitting next to you, you need them. Go ahead, look at the person next to you. You need that person. Sometimes I need you to pick me up when I'm down. Sometimes I need you to help defend me. Sometimes I need to defend you. Sometimes I need to pick you up. That person sitting next to you needs you to be real with them. They don't need you to agree with everything that they say. They don't need you to be perfect. They need you to be real. The world is looking for what is real. They're not perfect. And we need to show them how to be real and the importance of being real. If we portray our lives to be perfect, all we're doing is putting a wall between them because they know they're not perfect. We need to face the fact about ourselves, and I'm sorry to say it, but you're not perfect. I know. I'm here as your pastor to just let you know. No. I am far from perfect. Far from perfect. Don't be afraid to be real with yourself. It's hard and it's humbling, but it's necessary. Be willing to look at yourself in the middle of your flaws and failures and say, I am loved by God. Like, let him give you that truth. Right where you're at, you are loved by God. He loves you. You were wonderfully created by him in his image. And he knows the plans that he has for you. And he has made a way in this life for you. Get real with God. He is trustworthy. Acknowledge your shortcomings and your weaknesses. God already knows what they are. I'm just going to tell you, he knows what they are. And let his strength be made perfect in those places. Let his strength be made perfect in those places. Let him take what is in your closed fist. Get real with others. Who has God placed around you that you can be safe with? Who can you let your guard down with? Who can encourage you towards him? Look around in your life or in this room and find a friend that you can be real with. Someone that will encourage you towards God's truth about you and the plans that he has for you. We cannot put on a facade and be like Jesus. We have to be real. We can't put on a facade and fake it and show the world Jesus, because what we're showing them is fake. Being real is humbling. It's hard. It's necessary. And being real is worth it. Because God works his best in our humility. It's where his grace and his mercy is at its fullest. I need his grace and mercy. Being real with others is where our friendships are the deepest. It's where they're real. And being real is where we see victory in our lives. Would you stand with me?